Well, today we're going to find ourselves in Nehemiah chapter 6. We'll start at verses 3 and 4, and then we'll jump down to 8 and 9. And we're a little bit into the book of Nehemiah. So after I read the scripture and after we pray, I'll give you a little bit of the backstory of what brought us up to this point. Nehemiah 6, 3 and 4 said, "And I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me four times this way, and I answered them in the same manner." Verse 8 and 9, he said, "I replied, there is no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole thing. They're just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination." Today I want to talk on the subject, it's all made up. It's all made up. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand in your house and just to be able to worship your son, Jesus. Lord, we ask that our hearts would be ready to receive the word that you have for us. And God, I ask that you would personally touch me and help me to deliver that in a pleasing manner. God, every gift that is given, every offering, every tithe, we ask a blessing over that, over every giver. And every gift, may there be an anointing to win souls. Do great and mighty things through your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, excuse me. Before we get started, they told me today that the camera was kind of going to be stationary and not move. And it couldn't zoom in on me. And that's fine. If we didn't have a camera on me, I'd be perfectly fine with that. But some of you I was talking with before church said, "Look like you got your eye dotted. What did Kristen do?" And I said, "Well, it wasn't Kristen this time." No, I'm just kidding. I'm winking at you. This thing, it flew like a bee and it stung like a bee right on my eyebrow. I said, "Well, thank you, Lord. There's nothing like a bee sting on your face the evening before you preach to help keep you humble." And so, we'll talk about David crying his eyes out later. I didn't cry with this, but I got up and looked at it and I was like, "Oh, God, I wanted to cry my eyes out." It's just crazy. Sometimes I come home and Chris said, "You can't make this up." And I said, "No, you can't make this up." But getting back to Nehemiah, we found ourselves in chapter 6. But before there's a little bit of a backstory. He was a cupbearer for the king of Babylon. And his heart became burdened for his hometown. It was in ruins. The walls of the city had been torn down. The gates had been torn down. The people were just paralyzed. They were desolate. And things was not going well for them. But he went to serve the king one day. And even the Bible said, even though he tried to hide it, the king said, "Why are you so sad?" He said, "Oh, king, I'm tore up. My people, they need me. I feel like I need to go rebuild the walls of my city." He had a heart for Jerusalem. And the king said, "All right, go. I'll give you letters. You can pass through governors and all of that. And here's permission. Go." And so he takes off and he gets to Jerusalem. And the Bible even says that when he gets there at night, he sneaks out and surveys all the damage. Because apparently it was worse than probably what he even heard or had thought. But he goes all around and he sees gates and wall sections tore down, just rubble laying everywhere. But he was able to rally the troops, and for lack of better words, he had an anointing on his life to do this. The city was paralyzed. They couldn't make progress with it. But in 52 days, Nehemiah was able to get this wall built back, to get the gates secured. Everything that was protecting the city had been destroyed. But he was able to get people to come together under his leadership. Now, he had a lot of opposition with this. People would come up to him. As a matter of fact, in verse 4, it said, they came to me 4 times trying to distract and intimidate me and discourage him from trying to get the work of God done in his life. They were trying to stop the work that God had placed in his heart. They approached him. The Bible says they sent him letters. I mean, the code department knocking on your door, delivering you letters. Stop. Stop the work. You can't do this. They talked about him. They talked about his work. They said, he is putting this together with junk, with rubble, with stones that's been burned. One guy even said, if a fox was to brush against his wall, it would fall down. They even hired prophets to prophesy against him. But Nehemiah didn't stop. He said, they were just trying to intimidate us. They even started rumors saying that he was wanting to be king. They're just trying to intimidate us, guys. Why should we stop? Keep working. Keep working. Maybe you recall a time in your life where you faced intimidation. You have a situation at work, and it's pretty intimidating. You work with somebody that's strong personality. Or maybe you get an unexpected bill in the mail, like I did yesterday. And I pulled that out of the mailbox, and like, oh, it's that time of year again. Thank you, Lord. That's a little intimidating, but it's okay. God is with us. We're going to keep on keeping on. But there are different times in our life where we are intimidated by things. Intimidation just can slip in. It is truly something that comes from the enemy. It's not from God. Intimidation is a spirit. I think it's one that looms and lingers and just tries to pick and prod till it finds a crack to seep in. 2 Timothy said, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. And some translations say a sound mind. You don't have to be intimidated. We don't have to walk in intimidation. It doesn't have to linger. God wants you to know that he's not sent intimidation. It's not from him. We have to realize that our battle is not against flesh and blood, even though it may show up in a personality. It may show up in a family member. But our battle is against powers and principalities, rulers and high places. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It wouldn't matter if you got that person completely out of your life, or if they were to pass away, the enemy will move right on to you in another way or another form. It's paralyzing. It can have a paralyzing effect if you become intimidated. And then it also brings insecurity. When I say you, please don't think I'm preaching to you. This sermon is to Kurt. C-U-R-T. It is to Kurt. And sometimes you may find me looking at him, you buddy. We were going over this a few days ago, and I was like, Pastor, I don't know if I can preach this because this sermon is all about me. And I didn't tell him that, but I thought, yeah, I'll be preaching to the choir in this house. So if I say you, I'm talking Kurt. But intimidation can produce insecurity. And insecurity, if that stays around long enough, before you know it, there's anxiety. Have you ever seen anybody when anxiety attacks? It stops them. It paralyzes them. If you've ever been under an anxiety attack, you can't breathe sometimes. That's all you can try to do sometimes is to try to breathe if you have an anxiety attack. I worked with the lady. All she did was answer the phone. And then she'd switch the calls, and she'd answer the phone. She'd switch the phone, answer the call. I walked in one day, and she was in the floor. And I was like, what's wrong? What's happened? She's having an anxiety attack. It was one of the first times I'd ever encountered that. So we prayed, and anyway, she got better, but it was the first time I'd ever encountered it. She said, it can just happen, and it's paralyzing. Those were her words. But it comes through, it starts, I believe, as a root of intimidation. Anxiety then will give birth to discouragement if it hangs around long enough. That's pretty discouraging if you just become paralyzed and can't even breathe and can't function. In this verse, you actually see the downward spiral. It starts out as intimidation, and the enemy knows that it leads to discouragement. Discouragement is a demonic force. It's a loss of confidence. It's a loss of courage. One biblical scholar who wrote several commentaries says, it's a sense of unhappiness that arises from the loss of confidence in one's own ability, or you lose confidence in the reliability of God, or you lose confidence in the power of the gospel. Sometimes we just forget, and we lose confidence. Discouragement can occur in a Christian's life, especially when there's resistance to the gospel. Sometimes you have resistance that you don't even know that there's resistance. I resist to even recall the word that I've read because I'm looking at everything else except the tools of God that's in my life. That wasn't in the notes, but I'm just talking to Kurt here. Or it can sometimes happen in a personal failure. And that's what I was leading up to. Maybe your personal failure is not on Facebook. Maybe your personal failure is on Facebook. Maybe it's on Instagram, and people are posting and tweeting about it. But maybe your personal failure is, I've slipped away from reading. I've slipped away from spending time with God. I'm not listening to worship music like I was. I've allowed some intimidation to slip in. Maybe your personal failure isn't public, but it can cause discouragement in your life. You know, with everything going on in the world today, it's been easy to get discouraged here lately. I faced it myself, and I believe isolation is one of the key paths to discouragement. If the enemy can get you alone and keep you alone, it's easier to pick you off. You'll see these shows on television and there'll be predator animals come in. They usually just pick one off and get it alone, and then they take it down. They don't just usually jump in and attack the whole crowd. It doesn't work as well. But if they can isolate you, the enemy will do whatever he can to discourage you. You lose faith sometimes when you're not with people of like faith. You're not being sharpened. Iron sharpening iron, as the Bible says, when you're not around others. I think that's been a huge part of the enemy's plan that everybody, even in the world, has been facing through this. But God's got greater plans. God's got greater plans. Scripture mentions several times when folks got discouraged or who were experiencing intimidation. The Israelites in the desert, you know, they started looking back. Well, we would have been better off if we had stayed where we come from. Or we know people who's there, and they're better off. They started comparison. They would compare themselves to where they were. They would compare themselves with where other people were. They began to look at lack in their life and focus on it. That's intimidating. It can cause discouragement. Then I think, you know, the Israelites, when they were facing Goliath, they were discouraged by the size of this guy and his brothers. They were completely paralyzed. They were stopped. They weren't moving forward. They had nobody who even had weapons that could pierce this guy's armor. I mean, they had a weapon that was formed against them, and it looked like it was prospering because it had stopped them in their discouragement. But one day, a guy showed up. Just a regular guy. Boy, delivering some supplies. And he said, what is going on? Y'all have stopped. And they said, we got this giant. We can't face him. We don't know what we're going to do. And it's just bad. And he said, I'm taking him down. They're like, you're an idiot. You're crazy. You can't take him down. And he said, I am going to take him down. See, he might have been just a delivery boy, but God had been preparing him for fighting. He'd been in the battle. He'd been in the fields of his father tending sheep, but he'd been spending time in the Word. He'd been worshiping. He'd been playing music. He'd been singing. He'd even fought a bear, and he'd even fought a lion. And so when he saw this, he wasn't discouraged. He said, I'm taking him down. You know, sometimes I actually pray that for us as a church, that we should be Davids in people's lives. Maybe we can just be delivering something. We see somebody is paralyzed and they're stopped. But God will give you a word of wisdom. He'll give you a word of knowledge. He'll give you an insight and understanding. He'll give you an anointing where you can look and say, I'll take this giant down, and then you can do the rest, because y'all got them whipped if we can get this out of the way. Sometimes you may just be delivering something, but you're actually delivering more. Don't ever miss the moment that God puts in front of you. This was a boy described as a ruddy complexion, couldn't even fit in the king's armor. He set these people free from their intimidation and their discouragement. But even in his own life, a little bit later on in Scripture, it says, I don't know why this thing's rocking, but it's driving me crazy. He says, it's intimidating me. He said, and a little bit later on in Scripture, in Psalms, David was praying. He said, God, I have cried my eyes out. My heart's broken. I can't cry anymore. The eyes are wasted away. And it's not because I got stung on the eyebrow. It's because I've been brokenhearted. It's because I've been praying. Somebody has hurt me. One of my own has said bad things about me. I just can't take it. They've posted it out there for the world to see. There's rumors going around from somebody on my inner circle. He was tore up. See, the enemy just kept picking and prodding and trying to find his way in. He was ready for the giant, but his social game lacked a little skill, and it caused him to be paralyzed. It caused him to stop. He actually stopped with the work of God in his life because he was so tore up. I got to thinking about this, and I was like, Kurt, what do you think the difference is in the giant killing David and the David that's crying and brokenhearted? Well, I think a huge part of it was his approach. His approach made all the difference. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord, you vile, filthy Philistine who defiles the armies of God. I will take you down, and today I'll feed your carcass to the birds of the air. You cannot stand against what God has ordered. He was ready for that. His approach made the difference. You know, several times in Scripture, we're warned to not discourage people. We're told not to. Sometimes it even gives us a warning. It says it'd be better for us to have a millstone tied around our neck and throw it in. We're supposed to be encouraging to people. We're supposed to shine the light of Jesus. We're supposed to be salt and add flavor, preserve them. Shine the light and dispel darkness. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Minister to folks. Encourage people and uplift them. Help them if they're downtrodden. Help them and speak life to them. Sometimes we can walk into a situation and see that it's bad, but you choose to speak life into that situation, you can leave it better than you found it. Or you can get in the downward spiral too. It's just like the toilet, and you flush the toilet. It's just a downward spiral. And it can happen when you walk into the situation that's not good. Oh. But you can speak life, and you can change people's situations by being a light to them. And that's what God wants for us. Sometimes we just have to get the same revelation that Nehemiah had. The enemy is just making up stuff. It's all made up. It's only to discourage you. It's only to paralyze you. It's only to stop you and the work that God has for you. When you get discouraged, there's not joy in that. There's not life-giving vibrancy. There's not abundant life in that. You can listen to what the enemy says, and before you know it, you will make it truth in your own life. He'll tell you, you're going to die. Oh, I'm too sick, I can't. You're too poor. I'm so broke. You got too much going on. I'm so busy, I just can't. God has nothing for you. I don't think the Lord really wants me to be a part of that. And before you know it, if you give into it, you'll make these things true because you'll start acting on it. But if you'll listen to the word of God, thy word, O Lord, is truth, and you'll start speaking that and declaring it over your life, I am saved. I am a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. He makes a path for me through desert places. He's my provider. He's my deliverer. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. If you confess the truth of God over your life, you'll see a difference. You'll see a difference. You'll get a breakthrough when the enemy wants to stop you. There was the difference in the approach that David had. The enemy knew that he didn't have his social game up to skill, and so he attacked him through his loved ones. He'll use whatever he can to distract you, to intimidate you, to paralyze you, to cause anxiety, and to destroy you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. It's a downward spiral. Why? Because he wants the work to stop. There's several different effects of discouragement. We've all seen them. Proverbs 17 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit, discouraged spirit, it just dries up the bones. It dries up the bones. Many times in the Bible, we'll read where God says, do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Fear not. You know, I believe the reason God gives us those orders, those commands, those instructions, is because he knows there's going to be discouragement come at you. There's going to be fear and anxiety come at you. But if he tells you not to be, you could take that to the bank and fight against everything that comes at you. And you'll see the difference without allowing that stuff in. We have to resist the enemy and his tools. Paul said in Romans 8:31, he said, if God is for us, who or what can be against us? He was telling the church, it doesn't matter. If death, it can't separate you. Sickness, perilous times. Maybe you're hungry. Maybe you're destitute. Calamity, trouble, persecution. Does that mean God doesn't love you? No. He said, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus. He said, I'm convinced that nothing by any means, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from the love of God. No power above and no power below. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Even if you're discouraged, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nehemiah said, they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. The enemy wants to stop the work. The attack on the work starts with the attack on you. That's why he is turning up the heat. That's why everywhere you turn, there's something happening. Where have we got stopped in the work? What stopped us? Did you get stopped before you got started? Did you get stopped part of the way through? Did you get close to the end of the work that God had for you in this season and just stop? I've bit off more than I could chew. This is too daunting. It's too much. We can't do this. There's no way. 52 days, they rebuilt the walls of the city because they didn't stop. They kept on. Nehemiah said, why should I even come down and talk to you? There's a call of God on your life. There's something for you to do. Why should you stop and even listen to discouragement? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I do everything to spread the good news and share its blessings. He pretty much went on to say, keep on keeping on. There's a prize. You'll get it. Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep on. Press ahead. You shall win. God is for you. He's not against you. And it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you, what kind of discouragement that comes in. You know, I've heard it all my life. Preachers say, the devil's a liar. And I say, amen. He's the father of all lies. Everything he tells you is meant to destroy you. It's meant to intimidate you. It's meant to paralyze you. It's meant to stop you. It's meant to discourage you. It's meant to halt the work. That's what's important, is the work you're doing. We have to realize what God has started in us. He's able and he's faithful. He'll bring it to completion, but you can't stop. What if Nehemiah stopped on day 51? Maybe those people's letters would have been right. Maybe a fox could have knocked it down. What if he got discouraged? What if he'd listened to every time they come knocking? The city wouldn't have been rebuilt. The gates wouldn't have been secured. The people wouldn't have been protected. We can't stop praying. We can't stop trusting God. We can't stop doing what he called us to do. Verse 9, he said, they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. But the end of that verse goes on to say, so I continued the work with even greater determination. I kept on keeping on. I didn't let it bother me. But come what may, whatever hell throws at you, you can't stop. That person in your life and in your family that you're believing God for, they're acting worse than they've ever acted. You can't stop. You got to keep trusting. You got to keep loving them. You got to keep encouraging them. That job where you know God placed you, people's gone crazy. Talking about you, stirring trouble, threatening your position. But you know God put you there. You can't stop. You got to keep on. Your family looks like it's falling apart because this one's got into drugs and this one's had an affair and this one's done something stupid. This one's quit being a student and they know they're called of God for a future ahead of them. Don't stop having faith for them. There's sickness on every side, your brothers, your sister, your mother, your children, yourself. The enemy's attacking every which way he can. But you know there's a calling and you know there's greater things that God has in store for you. You can't stop. You got to keep on. You can't let that intimidate you. You'll find yourself paralyzed. You'll find yourself staring at a giant, paralyzed. You'll find yourself crying your weary eyes out because your heart is broken. Nehemiah caught the vision. He was following the unction of God. He realized that the thing that which he was a part of was greater than the part he played. But he knew his part was important. He knew it was going to make a difference. But he knew it was part of something greater. You're a part of something greater. But the work you're doing is so important because you're making a difference in people's lives when you encourage them. You're making a difference in people's lives when you lift them up, when you pray for them, when you minister to them, when you smile, you drop your mask and smile, when you say hello. People have been so isolated the last few months. There's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of discouragement in people's personal ministries, and in their home life. But you can encourage. You can uplift. It doesn't matter where you're at. Maybe you work in an office. Maybe you dig ditches. Maybe you're a school teacher. I had a school teacher this week said, got a student, come talk to me, needs a Bible. I'm like, yes. Salt, light, hands, feet. You are a part of the body of Christ. There's a calling on your life to reach others. Don't let intimidation, anxiety, or fear discourage you. It's all made up. Nehemiah said, I sent to them saying, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop? Well, I leave it and come down to you. And they sent to me four different times this way. And I answered them four different times. The enemy's consistent. He's consistent. You got to be consistent. If he can knock, you can send a messenger back up. I'm not stopping. I'm moving ahead. God is with me. God gave me this burden. I'm going to see it brought to completion. I got permission to come. I got the blessing. He opened doors. He made a way. Miracles are happening and occurring. Do you think I'm going to stop now? Because you sent an order? No. I'm going to keep on keeping on. We have to be consistent. We have to make sure our approach is right. Just like David. Face the giant. Call it out for what it is. Tell it it's coming down. And move forward. Even if you can't put on the armor that they provide for you. God's provided you a weapon. Even if you have to stop and pick it up. He'll see you through it. We have to decide we're not going to believe the lies of the enemy. We have to decide that we know it's all just made up. Maybe you faced discouragement in your life recently. Maybe you've been tore up. Maybe you've cried your eyes out. Have you had a giant that's just been taunting you? A giant that says, send me anybody that will fight me. A giant that will hold you back. Maybe you've been getting letters. Maybe you've been getting orders. Maybe there's been rumors. It's paralyzed you. I'm here to tell you today, God still wants you to move forward. You can do it, or he wouldn't have called you. You can do it, or he wouldn't have called you. He will empower you by the Holy Spirit. You can do it, or he wouldn't have called you. Don't stop. Keep pressing on. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you after you submit yourself to God. I want to share a little testimony, be a little transparent. A few weeks ago, I was so discouraged. That's why this message was meant for me. I got so intimidated. I was so intimidated by everything going on. It's like, God, I can't do this. I don't even know what to do. You can't go see people. You go see people. You stand outside their door. Yeah, keep on keeping on, Kurt. But I let that intimidate me. I'm like, we can't do this. We're blocking off every other row. We can't get people in the building. Things going on in your personal life. I had an injury in my body earlier this summer. I suffered with some pain and tried everything, wouldn't go away. And I mean, the enemy had just attacked me. I was so discouraged. I was paralyzed. I felt alone. I couldn't even explain it. It was a spirit. It was a spirit that had crept in. I cried my eyes out. Couldn't get a hold of friends when you needed to talk to them. Then when you could, it's like, well, I can't even hardly talk to you for crying. Seriously, I drove down to the lake one evening just to get away. Just walking on the shore where I thought there would be no cell phone service. And the phone rang. There's a guy from church. I couldn't hardly talk to him for crying. He lit into me in a very positive way. There was an anointing come over him. He said, you know, Kurt, I can tell you're having a rough day. I sniffled. Yeah. He said, but I'll tell you what. When this happens to me, I just tell the enemy, he's got to back up. God's got more for me. You're going to have to get out of the way. I don't have time for this. I have to shake it off. Sometimes you're going to have to get up. You don't do nothing stupid. Walk away from the things that's bothering you. Get some peace of mind and tell the enemy, God has got more for you in store. I mean, that shook me to the core. I could feel it. I could feel it start to break there in that moment. It was like David had slung the rock and took down the giant. And the army had to get up and move forward. You may be a used car salesman that plays the bass on stage, but you can encourage others. You can lift them up. You can share the promises of God. You can help be a part of the breakthrough in their life. They'll say it come from the most unlikely source. It's just a little delivery boy. We thought he's just bringing some supplies and food. He's not even a warrior. He's not trained in this. Doesn't matter. God's got more for you. You've got an audience. You've got a platform. You've got a table you sit down with your family. You've got a desk. You've got a cash register. You've got a shovel. There's somebody always in front of you who needs a little encouragement. And I'll be honest with you. If you sow it, you'll reap it. It'll come back to you because that's the way it works.